To look at 2 Timothy 3 and 1 Thessalonians 2. The topic that I have as we get started this morning is the Word of God, the life, a study of the living and eternal nature of the Word. And we're going to start in John chapter number 6. I've been teaching the teens, and we've had a real good time over there, and we've been talking about the Word of God and so forth, and we're going to hit on some of that this morning, what we've been discussing over there as we talk about the Word of God, the life. When you come to John chapter number 6, this is one of the text verse that was given, verse number 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the morning, Lord. We thank you as we study your Word. Above all, Lord, we thank you that we have your Word to study. And we just give you the praise and the glory for everything that's said and done. In your name we pray, amen. In John chapter number 6, you see verse number 63, the Lord is speaking and he says, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." And that's what we're going to talk about in these morning messages. We've been talking about the Word of God. And the Word of God, the source. The Word of God, the power. And the Word of God, the life. And the life is really a culmination of all of it. Because if you don't have the Word of God as a source and as power working in your life, then you don't have what? Life. What is the Word of God? When he says that the Word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. What's the life that he's talking about there? The words, the things that he's speaking, he speaks life. When Jesus Christ says, "I am the truth, the way, the life," everything that he is speaking about and spoken in his earthly ministry is where John fits. Remember that wonderful chart yesterday, okay? And if you weren't here to see the chart drawn, then when you walked in to going, "Oh man, what's that about?" Okay? But when you talk about the Word of God, what you're talking about is the life, the very essence of God. He wrote them down. And when he writes the words down, the issues, you know, it's interesting when you talk to people about the Bible issue. And I thought about bringing up, you know, you got those stacks of different Bibles and reading. But when you talk about people with the Bible issue, they miss the point that it's the words on the page. See, my Bible up here, I've got pages, I've got notes written, all of it, but it's the words on the page. Because the words give you the life. Flip back over now with me to one of the verses I gave you. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And these verses have been hit in study already, but it's the... When I read this thing from John, I'm like, the nature, the living and eternal nature of the Word of God. The Word of God is living. And it's eternal. It's going to be there forever. You got 1 Thessalonians 2? Well, hold on to that and go back to Daniel. What's that?
He said, "Which way is that?"
It's left. Left, Charlie. Left, Charlie. Daniel chapter number 12. Daniel chapter number 12. You get to the end of the book of Daniel. You have the great... The visions of Daniel, of Nebuchadnezzar, and the handwriting on the wall, and you got all this great information prophetically. Then you come to Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the what? The end." Daniel writes, he seals it up, and it's sealed. Until when? Until the time of the end. Well, when is that? Well, on our chart out here, it's out here in the end. And in the end, when they, "And many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And I, Daniel, looked, and beheld, there stood other two, one on the side of the banks of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said," and you see all that, and if you drop down to verse number 9, "and he said, 'Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end.'" The words in Daniel, in the 70th week of Daniel, and the explanation of the prophetic time clock in the book of Daniel, they are sealed until the end. Now when you come over into a book like Matthew, flip over to Matthew. Matthew chapter number 24 and verse number 15. Now we're out here. If you will think about this, Daniel's back here. We have the 70 weeks of Daniel, and in Daniel 9 we understand the 69 until the cutting off of the Messiah, which in Isaiah is the cross. You're sitting in Matthew 24. You're going to get some, he's giving information after his resurrection, after he's ascended, of some things that are going to happen to them, going into what is called the trib, the 70th week of Daniel. You're getting all this information. Notice verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by who? Daniel. What that tells you is that in the end, they're going to have what there to read?
Words.
Daniel. They're going to have the Word. It's going to be there. And so the Word of God is eternal. It's always going to be there. It's life. And for these folks here who in verse 13 have just been told that they're going to have to endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. They're going to have to go down through, and they're going to have, verse 16, they flee into the mountains and they've got to do certain things. What's telling them what to do?
The Word.
The Word. Okay? And I haven't been in with Dan and Tracy's message, but under the source, the doctrine of inspiration, where it came from, where did the Word of God come from? God. He spoke it. There it was. That's 2 Timothy chapter number 3. On your way back to 2 Timothy 3, stop in 1 Thessalonians 2. We'll get there, okay? Okay, in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse number 13. This verse is a verse that I have typed out, written, and stuck in my... You know, I used to have them up on my wall in my office. My office got moved to the garage with an air conditioner. So it's not up on the wall anymore. It's in a little flip file thing, okay? 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, what? The word of God. Now, let me ask you something. In Thessalonica, when Paul was there and he established a church and he writes Thessalonica, did they have a completed word of God?
No.
No, they did not, did they? This is early on. But they understood, they had the understanding that when Paul sat there and preached to them, that what were they hearing? The Word of God. And when they believed the Word of God, the rest of the verse, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. When they believed the Word of God, do you know what the result of that belief was? Chapter number 1. Verse number 7. So that ye were in samples to all that believed in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak any things. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus Christ, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now, when they heard Paul speak, what did they hear?
The Word of God.
The Word of God. What did the Word of God do? Just sit there? Or did it work life in them? It worked life in them so much so that Paul can stand there and say, I don't even have to go into that territory. You guys are doing it for me. You've turned from the God, those idols to the living God. It created life in them. The Word of God for you and I today, in our Christian life, to have life in our Christian life, we need to watch videotapes. We need to watch the TBN stations. We need to... By the way, I didn't wear my flowered shirt, but my name is Rick. Okay?
Yes, it is.
All right? So, we don't need that. What do we need to have life? The Word of God. That's what you need.
Amen.
And an understanding then of what the Word of God does in your life. Go over to 2 Timothy chapter... Yeah, finally. 2 Timothy. Boy, this is a rough crowd. Especially this front table. At our assembly, it's the third row that gives us the trouble. This one is the front row. But that's okay. I'm used to troublemakers. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 15. Yes, it does. And that from a child Paul talking to Timothy, "Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Let me ask you something. The day that you understood that you were a sinner and that you were lost, dying, going to hell, but there was a Savior, a solution to your problem, who told, what information did you believe? Did you have faith in? When Tracy said that definition of faith the other day, I wrote it down. A positive response to the Word of God. What was that information? Was it the guy giving you the information? Or was it the Word of God? That verse 15 says to Timothy, and Paul's writing to us too, that the Word of the Scriptures make you wise unto salvation. If you want to get saved today, you don't run to Harry Potter. You don't run to the skater magazines, and this is what we were talking about in the teens. You don't run to your friends. You don't even run to your parents. Where do you run to? The Word of God. Because the Word of God produces life. Verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed. He gave it. And is what? Profitable for what?
Doctrine.
For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for what?
Instruction.
Wow, look at that. How many of us like doctrine? Woo! We all like doctrine. How many of you like to be reproved? How many of you like to be corrected? But you know what? All Scripture, it's there to do what? To do that. Why? To produce life in you. To produce something that's down in... And he says, for instructions in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You want to do good work? How many of you want to serve God? Okay, everybody does. How do you serve God? The Word of God tells you how to go serve God. How to have life. Now, the Word of God, it's living and eternal. It's never going to change. Now, man tries to change it. I was reading. I got one of these new little books, you know, and I'm looking down through it. And in the new Bibles, Ephesians 5:1 says, "Be therefore followers of God." In the new Bibles, it says, "Be imitators of God." Do you know who the great imitator is? No, we would just be like Satan. Okay? That's man doing what with the Word? Changing it, fixing it, messing it up.
Is wisdom.
What is this? It's going to be profitable. All Scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for doctrine. Where do we get our doctrine from? God's Word. But we've learned over last night with Dan about back there in Exodus. Would you like to be dealt with like they were? How about the hope? Having your hope under Israel's program. For us, there was none. But where did you learn that? What do you have to do with the doctrine?
Study.
You have to study it. You have to rightly divide it. This verse says, all Scripture. You know, people say you write dividers. I get called that a lot. You write dividers. You don't study anything other than Paul. But what does that verse say? It says all the Scripture is there. All the Scripture is there for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction. Do you know, go back to the book of Psalms. And we're going to look in Psalms chapter 119. Psalms is in the middle of the book, Charlie. Okay?
Do you spell that with a P?
Yeah, with a P. When you go back to the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 119, and Psalms sits in a section for Israel, and everybody likes to call it poetry and this stuff, but Psalms is one of the five books of the heart of Israel. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. When you read those, what you're reading is doctrinal information that as it pertains to the little flock, someone's heart of a believer in Israel. And when you come into a book like chapter 119, a long chapter, oh man, long chapter. But do you know that in Psalms 119, every verse talks about the Word of God? Every verse does. says something about the Word of God. Verse number 1, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. What's the law? It's His Word, isn't it? But who did He give His law to?
Israel.
So you know what? All Scripture. Israel. Now, I'm getting somewhere, okay? We've got the law. What's the law to Israel? Is it not doctrine? Doesn't it teach them how to live and how to operate and how to function? But doesn't the law also do what? Corrects? And reproves? Doesn't it also correct them and reprove them and get them back on the way? We're in Psalms. Now, we're talking about the Word of God, but when that verse in 2 Timothy 2 says all Scripture, I don't want you to think he's just talking about Paul's epistles. Because everything in your Bible is there for a reason. Have you ever read the chapters, you know, Solomon begat Ida, and Ida begat Eba, and everybody begat her? It's there for a reason. Okay? It's not just there to fill up pages and judges and kings and so forth. It's there for a reason. And the reason it's there for is to teach some doctrine. And it's to establish some doctrine. Now, when we come over to Paul's epistles, what is doctrine in Paul?
We're not under the law.
Well, all right, so we'll do grace. Okay? Where do we get our doctrine under Paul? The book of Romans, right? Romans talks about what? The cross, justification. The next book is what?
Corinthians.
Corinthians is a book of reproof. Would you like to be labeled with the Corinthian church? We've already heard about that a little bit. Okay, what's the next book? Galatian. Correction about what? Some doctrine that they learned in Romans. And you can do that with Ephesians. What's Ephesians a doctrine of? The body, the church, the whole thing, the corporate. Philippians, a little reproving. Colossians, a little correction about that doctrine. And you can do that. So when a verse says all Scripture is given, it's all there. And you know what it does? It produces a perfect man. It produces a life if you do what with the Word of God?
Believe it.
Psalms 119. We read verse number 1. Drop over, if you will, to verse number 33. Now I'll get to my notes. Okay? Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. See, teach me. Now this is, again, dispensationally, what I want you to see is what the Word is going to do. Okay? Turn the page over. How about verse 71? It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Don't we have a verse like that in Paul's epistles? Tribulation worketh what? Patience, hope, experience, hope. But we also have another passage in 2 Corinthians 4 when it says this light affliction is but for the moment, but it does what? It works a far better, more weight of glory. Well, what gets you through the affliction? Rick Warren's book? Phil Donahue? I heard he was coming back. Oprah? What gets you through the afflictions?
The Word of God does.
71, verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. Didn't Paul say the same thing in at the end of the book of Corinthians? He says, hey, Lord, I got this thorn in the side of my flesh. Get rid of it. Because when I'm weak, you're strong. Well, God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. He gave him the affirmative no. Okay? And he says, hey, it's the same type. But who are we talking about? Israel, dispensationally? But look at what the Word does. It learning it. Turn the page. Verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. There's the eternal nature of the Word of God. Back in eternity past, when they had the great council of the Godhead gets together, and they said, this is what we're going to do, and we're going to cause a book to be written, and we're going to do this in the earth, and we're going to do this in the heavens, and we're going to keep this a secret, and we're going to let it run, and this is what's going to happen. We're going to bring in Israel, and we're going to do all this. That's where the Word was settled. It was done right there. There was an agreement between God the Father and God the Son that He would come. live on the earth, die, be buried, raise again the third day, and that God the Father would do it. And the Holy Spirit comes on and says, I witnessed it. It's a done deal. It's been forever settled. Keep going. How about verse 103? How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Can you say that about the Word of God? When you're reading Deuteronomy or Leviticus, Jeremiah said that. He goes, I just eat them up. I just eat them up. How sweet they are. Why would they be sweet as honey? Because they're life. They give you life. They give you substance. They give you the ability to get through the afflictions. Verse 105. How many of you know this one? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You want to know which way you're going? You better rightly divide the word, number one, and then get over there on the right side and get going. But where do you learn that from? The Word of God. How about verse number 130? The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. How many of us are simple? But what does the Word of God do?
Gives us understanding.
Gives us light. Go back over. I skipped a couple verses here. How about verse number 50? This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. That word quickened, made alive, bring to life. He's quickened me. Verse number 93. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. How does the psalmist say he's quickened me? Because he's given him his word. It brings in your life. And you can keep going. I mean, there's verse 152. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever.
Amen.
Never to be shaken. They're there forever. 159, consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. I mean, that's where it is. It's in the Word of God. Verse 160, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of the righteous judgments endureth, how long? Forever. When mankind stands up there and says, wait a minute, Lord, I was reading over here. You know, I see Brother Ted and his Bible song, you know, and they're standing up there and he turns up that old flame, and they say, whoa, wait a minute, Lord. That's my life's work. He's going to say, yeah, but it's not the right work, because here they are. Here it is. And you have the eternal word. Go back to chapter 19 of Psalms, just real quick here. Chapter 19, verse number 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show his handiwork. I think Tracy was talking about reading an article. He was updating his reading skills on the airplane about some guys, scientists out there trying to figure out, saying that the universe was hung with strings, and what they're really trying to do is go back and find God. What does that verse say? Right there. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament does what? Shows his handiwork. They can search and look all they want. You know what they're always going to come back to? God. Every time. And you know where you and I come up? We come in and we say, hey, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Duh. Why? Because we believe a book.
Amen.
And yet, now Dan was reading an article on bagels, so you can see where the reading skills are, okay?
Oh.
All right?
Oh.
That was
bad.
Okay?
I give you the whole
explainer.
Okay? So, but where do we get the information? The Word of God. What is... I'll go over to Deuteronomy. Go back to Deuteronomy, I should say. Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. Verse number 45. Deuteronomy 32. Notice what Moses tells Israel. And Moses made an end of the speaking of all these words to all Israel. Now, Deuteronomy 32, we're at the end of Moses' life. He's on his way out. Joshua's there to take over. Verse number 46, "And he, Moses, said unto them, Set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. And through this thing ye shall prolong your days in the land whither you go over Jordan to possess it." Notice what Moses tells Israel. Teach the word because it's your life. And not just teach it to anybody, specifically to do who? Teach it to your children. Because Moses, the children of Israel, they're ready to go into the land. They have already tried once to go in and failed. This is that generation that had came up. You know, that old the first generation, the 12 spies, they all have died off. Now it's the next one. What happened to that first generation? They failed to do what? Teach their children. He says, teach them. When we were going to have children, I studied Ephesians 6, you know, fathers, provoke not your children, but bring them up in the admonition of the Lord, in the ways of the Lord. And I studied the admonition in the ways of the Lord and go back, and this is one of those verses. Teach them. Why? Because it's your life. It's eternal. Go back now to the book of Luke. We're getting the New Testament. How's that? Easy enough, Charlie?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
I'm already there.
All right, Luke chapter 21. The living and eternal nature of the Word. The words are life. Jesus says, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Okay? But there's an eternal nature to them. And we saw some of that in Psalms 119. 21 verse number 33. 21 verse number 33. "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." On and on and on and on. That's how you know that when the body of Christ is out of the way and the tribulation program's going, that they're going to have what? The word of God. They're going to have it. And it's going to be there, preserved for them forever. Eternal. How about John, chapter number 10. John, chapter number 10, verse number 35. "If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture," what? "Cannot be broken." It's eternal. It's forever. It's forever. 1 Peter, chapter number 1. I'm just trying to give you some verses, okay? A ton of them. You should see my list. 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 25. "But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." The word is going to endure forever. It has an eternal nature about it. And the reason it has an eternal nature about it, go back to John 1 now. It's because it is what? The Word of God. And what is God? Who is God? One of His attributes is what? He is there forever. He was there before. He's there after. He's there now. He's going to be there after. It's forever. Now, there's an interesting thing. How many of us know who Jesus Christ is? All right, we'll work on Dan. He didn't raise his hand. Okay? Who is Jesus Christ? What's John 1:1 say? He's the Word. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Look at verse 14. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Right? "And we beheld His glory, as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Here you have the Word. Jesus Christ is called the Word. Verse number 11. "And he came unto his own, and his own did what? Loved him, hugged him, kissed on him, welcomed him home. Received him not." What did Israel do? They failed to see him as the Messiah. What was the baptism of John all about? Manifesting the Messiah. And they did what? They missed him. What else did they miss? They missed the Word. He's the Word. They missed the Word. When the Pharisees and the Sadducees stand there and they're going after Christ, and what does he do? Yea, have you not read? Have you not read? Don't you know what Moses said? You guys are full of your traditions. Yourselves, haven't you read? Why? Because Jesus Christ is the Word. Now, let's move over into Paul. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Got it?
Wow, you're fast, dude.
2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Notice, if you will, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be where? Okay, if you're in Christ, and Christ is the Word, where are you?
In the Word.
In the Word. Oh, wow, look at that. Isn't that something? And all we did was read a verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? A new creature. Who do you find out about the new creature?
In the Word.
In the Word. Rightly divided. Okay? All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. That all things. You ever think about that? You know, we studied, you get over there in Colossians and you see all things. What's he been talking about here in 2 Corinthians 5? Notice verse 14. Notice what these all things are. For the love of Christ constrains us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. What's that verse saying? Hey, the love of Christ constrains us. What motivates us is his love. Why? Because he died for me.
Amen.
So now why shouldn't I go do what? Live for him. So in verse 17, when he says these all things, he's not talking about the governmental positions, is he? What's he talking about? Your life. Before you were saved, Sunday morning would roll around, what would you do? Football.
Sleep in.
Baseball. Sleeping in.
Shopping.
Maybe go to church if it's what? Christmas, Easter, Good Friday, you know, the big three. Okay? But what did you do? You did whatever you wanted to do. Why? Because you're unsaved. You get saved. And you come to understand right division. And you come to understand, well, let's back up. You get saved. And then you're into a denomination. Now what are you doing on Sunday?
Sleeping at church.
Okay?
Working.
Listening to the ball game on the earpiece, you know, down below, okay? But what are you doing? You're not doing anything new, are you? You're doing the same thing, right? What's that verse say? When you become in Christ, old things pass away, all things become what?
New.
Now you get saved. Now you're out at the swap meet and I talk to you and you understand, you come to say, hey, there's this goofy guy named Paul and Rick's even goofier and look at this and wow. So you become to understand right division. Now what happens to you on Sunday morning?
You're excited.
Excited. Alive. Because you begin to learn what?
The Word of God.
Rightly divided. And the old things become passed away. Now when you look at that ball game, you know what you do? You TiVo it. We'll watch it later. Okay. Or in my household, you video record it on a VHS tape deck and, you know, like that. Okay? What? Yeah. But what are you doing on Sunday? You're studying. You're learning. And what do you learn about the Word of God? That it goes where? Right into life. Look at Ephesians chapter number 4. I'm going to give you what I gave the kids yesterday. So children back there, teens, you listen up, because you're going to get it again. Look at Ephesians chapter number 4. When you come to understand your Bible, the Word of God, rightly divided, number one, you know that you've got the Word of God. That's the doctrine of inspiration. Okay, and I'm sure Tracy hit that, or I'm sorry, Dan hit that wonderfully. Then you become to understand that it's the power, it's what works in your life. But it becomes life. And it becomes reality when you do what? Believe it. Ephesians chapter number 4. Verse number 23. and be renewed in the spirit of your what? Mind. Now 2 Corinthians 5 said what? If a man is a new creature, old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. How did things become new? How many of you got saved and left your job the next day, just didn't go back to work? What did you do the next day? You went to work. But how do you begin to perceive that job? New, don't you? But how do you get there? You have to do what? Renew your mind. You have to filter out all that old baggage and get the new stuff in. Renew the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. What's the number one thing there, guys? Put away lying. How about the next verse? Be angry and sin not. You know, you can be angry and you can sin, can't you? You can go out there, I'm so mad at him, I can just kill him, and you go kill him. You just sinned, didn't you? A big one. Court comes, the guys come and say, you did it, and haul you off in handcuffs. Well, wait a minute. No, you did it. Be angry and sin not. Be in control of your emotions. Have them in check. How do you have them in check? Renewing your mind. Bringing the life of the Word into your mind. Verse 27, neither give place to the devil. I mean, we didn't go to Romans 12. Romans 12 is tough. That's a tough, don't give place to the devil. What does the devil do? He comes in and does what? Tricks you, doesn't he? Gets into your mind and starts playing mind games. You've often heard of, hey, God caused that flat tire because he's trying to teach me something. God didn't make the flat tire. The flat tire caused because you didn't rotate it and you was improperly inflated and you hit that big nail. That's what caused the flat tire. But what does the devil do? He comes in, we'll just play a little mind game here, and plays mind games with you. What's the next verse? Let him that what? Steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to them that need it. Hey, go get a job. For 3 years, I worked shoplift detail in a grocery store, and you don't know how many times I had people tell me, well, I just don't have a job. I just don't have money. Baloney. McDonald's is hiring. Go down there and get a job. The grocery store was hiring. Come get a job. Now let me ask you something. Paul tells us to work. What did God tell Israel? I will provide for you the physical need. We got to go work. So when you go to your job, what are you thinking about your job? I hate this job. I'm just sick and tired of it. I want to chuck it. Well, go to chapter 6 and look at what you should be looking at your job like. And this took me a little time to understand and come to realize, so I quit my job and went and did something else. Okay. Chapter number 6. Notice verse number 5. Servants. The workers, the guy on the job, you working, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in the singleness of your heart. Now, how many of you love it when the boss comes in and he's got a list? Get them done. You know, not a honey-do list, but a work list. Get them done. Today, by 5 o'clock, no overtime. Get them done. And you sit there and what? Oh, thank you. I'm so happy to have a job. Woo! No, you sit there and go, well, that dirty, rotten rascal. I'm just going to just clean his clock when I get a chance. But notice we didn't finish the verse, did we? What's the rest of the verse say?
Singleness.
Singleness of your heart as unto who?
Christ.
Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ doing what? The will of God from the heart. You want to know what the will of God for your life is? Is on when you're on your job, you're doing it unto Him. You're doing your job for Him. When the boss comes in and lays out the list for you, you say inside, thank you, Lord. I got a job for the next day. And you get the job done. And you do it. And you know what that produces? Life. That produces life. Not your life, but whose life?
Christ's
life. Okay? And who's Christ? The Word, producing life. Now, go back to chapter 4. Verse 29. Now, here's a big one. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good. Notice he's, you know, Paul's a wonderful. Holy Spirit was wonderful. Put off, put on. Don't do this, do this. Don't let no evil communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is what? Good? To use of edifying that may minister grace unto the who? The hearers. That's everyone you come into contact with. That just isn't in a meeting like this. That's on the job. You know, the list is posted. The workers are dropping every other word that you know, it's not. And you sit there and go, yeah, that's right. What a dirty, rotten rascal. Did you just produce grace and edifying to them?
No. Backwards.
You went the other direction. Instead, what should you do? Inside, say thank you, Lord. Outside, say thank you, Lord. Verse number 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit. Boy, they're picking on you, Barry.
I know. It's
man.
Bad.
It's rough on this front row. How about verse number 31? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away with you, from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Hey, when you get upset with somebody, that anger and that clamor, you just want to clean their clock. What's that verse say? Forgive them. Why? Because you've been forgiven. And the issue of forgiveness, and with the kids, we had a top five. No lying, no stealing, no cursing, obeying your parents, and forgiveness. Because that issue of forgiveness will produce so much life in you when you forgive somebody. Because you're doing what? Allowing the Word to work in you. Chapter 5, verse number 22. What is the first word? Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord's. Wives, there's something that you have, there's something there for you to do. 5:21. There's an issue of submission. It isn't an issue that you're a second-class citizen at all. It's an issue of having the spirit of submission, of doing what the Lord requires you to do. Notice that I jumped right into the middle and didn't start where it begins. Back up a verse. Two verses. Verse 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with what?
Spirit.
The Spirit. Wives, if you want to submit to your husbands, you have to do it in the Spirit. You can't do it in your flesh. Because what's your flesh want to say? I'm going to clean his clock. I'll just get him. You have to do it in the Spirit. Speaking in psalms and hymns and speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody into your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You notice how Paul throws right in there about being thankful? One of the main things that's interesting, you know, right over there in Colossians 2, he's going down, you know, beware, beware, be thankful. Beware, beware, be thankful. He says, hey, you need to be thankful. Wives, submit yourselves. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, that's a high mark. Because how in the world can we love our wives as Christ loved the church? He gave himself for it. You know how you can do that? In the Spirit. That's how you can get it accomplished. In the Word. But notice you've got wives and you've got husbands. And you drop over to chapter 6 and verse 1. Now you got children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? Why should I obey my parents? For this is right.
Also well-pleasing.
Exactly.
How about fathers? The next verse. Verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Hey, dads, if you've got children, you've got a job to do. Bringing them up, raising them right. Raising them in grace. Raising them understanding that, hey, in your house, you've got what? Rules. But the rules are designed to do what? Teach what? The word. To teach them. To teach them to be a civilized savage. Okay? To teach them. That's what it is. Servants, we talked about. How about masters? If you own a business. Verse number 9, and ye masters. Chapter 6, verse 9, do the same things. Hey guys, if you're a boss, treat them right. Treat them how you would want to be treated. Now all this is in life. We're not off in theology in a seminary somewhere. We're talking about in life. Everyday life. Everybody wakes up Monday morning to go back to work. You roll over, you don't like it, you throw the alarm clock through the window or whatever you do, but you get up and you go in life. It was said the other night, life has been passed, we got something to come, life is right now. Right now, the life that's in you is Christ Jesus. The Word of God, the living and eternal nature of the Word, that Word is there forever. Whether you like it or not. And when you come across a verse that says, you're wrong, then you know what? You're wrong. And you'll be wrong for eternity. But what the Word does is come along and produce life in you. And where the life is right where you're at. I had a lady at the swap meet, because I got to talking about life, living life. And she goes, oh, that life stuff, that's some of that mystical stuff. I said, no, it was this morning when I woke up and put my pants on. You know, it's every minute. Isn't anything mystical about this? It's tangible, it's real, and it's life. Now go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. I have a whole list here, and time's gone, of things between... of similarities between Jesus Christ and the Word, the written Word. And I was going to give them to you, but you'll get them some other time, okay? But they're there. All of this, everything we've been studying this week, if you do not put into practice 1 Thessalonians 2:13, doesn't mean anything. You have to do what? Believe it. If you want to have a Christian life that runs smoothly. Does it ever run smoothly? No. But to be stable, what do you have to have? The Word of God. You have to, one, know you've got it. The doctrine of inspiration and preservation and all. And then two, you've got to understand that it will work in you if you do what? Believe it. And when you believe it, it will produce in you the life of Christ. I told you 1 Thessalonians, instead go to 2 Corinthians. Chapter number 4, and we'll close with this. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Verse number 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Isn't that Paul's life?
Yes.
Okay? Paul says over there, you've known my manner of life, my manner of doctrine, my life. You've known this. Notice the next verse. All this stuff going on in his life, and what does he do? Always crawling under the rock and crying and looking for help. No. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. The life that the Word of God produces in you is His life coming out of you. And as 1 Thessalonians 2 says, you have to believe it. If you don't believe it, it's just words on a page in a book. In closing, when I was working at the grocery store, I worked with a man. He was a reincarnationist. When 9-1-1 happened, that man came to me directly. I mean, I hadn't clocked in 2 minutes. And he says, Rick, you're a man of the Bible. What's the Bible say about this? Now, he's a reincarnation guy, and he knows where God's Word is. So we talked about it. And when we got done, he said, so God wasn't involved. I mean, I rightly divided him till he was blue in the face. And I said, yeah. And I said, Robert, the thing that you need to do is believe it. Because he didn't believe it. That's the case. He understood, by the way, he understood the chart. It makes logical sense, makes good sense. But it doesn't have the what? The life impact when you believe it. So the Word of God, the source, comes from God. The power is going to work in you if you believe it. And when it works in you, what does it produce? Life. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the morning. We thank you for the folks here, Lord, for their... We thank you for your Word. We thank you for your Son that He died on Calvary's tree. And we'll just give you the praise and the glory. In your name we pray. Amen.
You separate these.